Etavad eva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmanaha anvaya vyapikarake bhyam yatsyad sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstance, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. To unfold the mystery of Bhakti Yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways, by Karma Yoga, by Jnana Yoga, by Dhyana Yoga, by Raja Yoga, by Bhakti Yoga, etc. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation and of the problems of life in all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here, the goal of all such inquiries is explained. This chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam explains a conversation between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the first created personality within this universe, Lord Brahma. In these verses, the Lord is explaining, in essence, the purpose of this entire creation. You see, there is a purpose behind everything that exists. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, or God, gives the intelligence and the abilities to Lord Brahma, so that he can create all manifested matter within this universe. But before he explains to him the process of creation, he is explaining to him the purpose of creation. Why this universe exists, and what all living beings are supposed to be striving to attain within this created universe. He is explaining that the purpose of life for every human being is to search for the Supreme Absolute Truth in all circumstances, in all spaces, at all times, both directly and indirectly. Actually, whatever we perceive through any of our five senses has been created specifically for the purpose of helping us to revive our original spiritual consciousness. What does it mean directly or indirectly? Those who are intelligent, they are seeking Krishna. They are seeking God in every circumstance of life. And therefore, they come closer to God in every situation of life. As ye seek, ye shall find. What we look for, we will find that. If we are looking for Krishna, if we are looking for devotion and unity with Krishna, under the guidance of able and authorized spiritual personalities, we learn how to come closer to Krishna in every circumstance in life. The Bhagavad Gita teaches this process. Success, failure, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, pleasure, pain. They are all the gifts of God to bring us closer to Him. We simply have to be trained in the process. And if we find ourselves coming closer to the Lord in those situations, then it is a blissful, a wonderful, and a fulfilling experience. This is what spiritual life is for. A materialistic person who is forgetful of the real goal, he is simply trying to make so many wonderful material arrangements for happiness. But one who is in knowledge, one who is properly directed, understands that the only real happiness is to transcend this material world and unite our consciousness with God. Recently, just a few days back, I was in the United States of America. Since the Soviet Union has been dismantled and Russia is in very terrible economic and social crisis, the United States is the only world power that's remaining on Earth. And in many ways, in regard to material existence, the whole world is looking to America for direction, for protection, in so many ways. Now, here we have a country that is so incredibly sophisticated in technology, in basic social management, in facilities for comforts and enjoyment. So fabulously wealthy, so incredibly powerful, with the largest nuclear arsenal, the most sophisticated type of science. Just a few days back, Krishna sent a little snowstorm. Just snow and wind. That's all. What is that to Krishna? Krishna says, Mayadhyakshena prakritisu yate sacharacharam, that he is controller of this entire material existence. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. So anyways, Krishna sent a little bit of a snowstorm. And that had such power that 25 of the 50 states of America were practically shut down. In this storm, In the south, there was hurricanes and tornadoes.
All from one same storm.
There were high winds, and dozens of people were killed. Homes were demolished. Every business was shut down.
In the north, that same storm caused so much wind and snow that every airport was closed. The roads were closed. The buses stopped. The trains stopped. All businesses were shut down. One of the largest states in America, Georgia, 80% of the state had no electricity, no telephone lines. And it's in the South, which is famous for sun and warm weather, and there was 2 feet of snow, and everything was shut down. Billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of money, dollars, lost. Terrible injuries, deaths. And what could they do? Could they shoot their nuclear missiles at the sky to try to stop the snow? Could they turn up the thermostat of their big, what do you call them, those nuclear reactors to raise the temperature and melt the snow? They were helpless. They could do nothing except suffer. Half of the United States was shut down completely because of one snowstorm. Huh? And the most powerful nation in the world was helpless. All they could do is wait for it to stop. Wait for Krishna to just stop throwing snow at them. There was no question of retaliating. It was just sitting. The government in all 25 states were warning everyone, do not leave your house. Stay home. Do not travel. And it was state and national emergencies going on everywhere. This is just one insignificant sample of the power of material nature. And Krishna says that I am the controller of this material nature. How it completely overcomes everyone. And in the form of death, which could come at any moment, material nature ultimately does defeat and overcome everyone and everything. So myself personally, I had a nice experience within this wonderful snowstorm. I was in Florida, which is called the Sunshine State. It's the place where people from the north during the winter come to get warm, sunny weather. Of course, I was there to give some lectures from Bhagavad Gita. At least that was my excuse for going there. While I was there, I was supposed to catch an airplane to Boston, Massachusetts, to meet with Kridayananda, Hrishikesh Mufflal, and some other devotees. And just as the plane was about to leave, it started snowing in Tallahassee, Florida. The first time in 150 years that city has seen snow. And they didn't know what to do. And when the plane took off, after it took off, that airport closed down because it was covered with snow. And every other airport in the whole East Coast closed down because too much snow. So they were wondering, where are we going to land this plane? We can't go back and we can't go forward. Boston was shut down. New York was shut down. Philadelphia, Washington, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Atlanta, Georgia, Charlotte, North Carolina, they were all shut down. And it was just a small plane that didn't have too much gas, petrol, or whatever they use. So, of course, the pilots never tell you what's going on because they don't want to make you afraid, because then somehow or other, if you do survive, they want you to fly in their airline next time. So they'll never tell you what's going wrong. If the plane crashes, you don't really have to know what's going. You'll never know what's going wrong. And if the plane somehow or other comes out of this crisis, what you don't know will not hurt you. So everyone's just sitting, and the plane's going, winds were just pushing the plane this way, that way, this way, that way. And everyone was going like this. And they were saying, do not be alarmed, just keep your seatbelt fastened. But the pilots, I mean, he was saying this, but his voice was trembling. And therefore, everyone was thinking, why is pilot's voice trembling? And the airline hostess, with trembling voice, said, maybe he has a cold or something. So it was obvious that we were about to die. But they were saying, no, everything is all right. Just keep your seatbelts fastened and like that. And I was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Like that. And then, and the plane's literally going like this. And then all of a sudden, the pilot says, every airport is closed. We have no place to land. We can't go forward, we can't go backward, we can't go any other direction either. So then they found that somehow or other on his radio, he discovered there was a small airport open in a place called Raleigh, North Carolina. Have you ever heard of Raleigh? Who has heard of Raleigh? That's because you lived in America. Anyways, the only thing Raleigh is known for is they grow tobacco for cigarettes in that area. It's not a very prominent place. So anyways, we landed in Raleigh, North Carolina. Like, he said, all right, we have reached our destination. We were supposed to go to Boston. He said, Raleigh, North Carolina. This is the opposite direction. It's not the same direction. One is east, but this is west. So he said, because every airport is closed, and you all go outside and catch the next plane to Boston. So we go out into the airport, and as soon as we enter the airport, they close that airport. They said, for the next 3 days, there will be no flights going out of here. Because it was snowing there. So anyways, there were millions and millions of Americans stranded in all these strange places. They didn't know what to do or where to go. One little storm totally disorganized the whole nation. Krishna says in Gita, I am the source of the wind, of the rain. He is the controller of all controllers. So while I was sitting in that airport for 3 days, I was contemplating, what is it that I'm supposed to learn from this experience? Huh? And I'll share a few of my thoughts, if you allow me. If Krishna is so powerful, through his external material energy, to totally subjugate our lives, we can imagine how powerful his internal spiritual energy is, which is infinitely more powerful than his material energy. I was thinking, if through his external energy he can completely subjugate us in this way, can you imagine when you surrender to Krishna and come under his internal energy, the sound of his flute, when we hear the beautiful flute of Krishna, can you imagine how much that subjugates our entire existence? We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam of when Krishna would be in Vrindavan playing upon his flute, how everything stopped in ecstasy, not in agony, in ecstasy. The sweetness and the beauty of that flute totally subjugated and captivated everyone in divine trance of ecstatic love. The beauty of his transcendental threefold bending form, upon seeing it, totally conquers our mind and our senses. I began to think of the verse of Srila Rupa Goswami. And you get some realization when you see how this insignificant little external energy completely controls a whole nation's lives. We can imagine. But the material energy controls you through lust and envy and anger and miseries and such bondage. But the spiritual energy, which is infinitely more powerful, controls us through love and sweetness and beauty and ecstasy. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains, if you are in any way attached to your family, friendship, society, and love of this world, do not look at Krishna. Because if you go to the banks of Jamuna and see Krishna, that beautiful threefold bending form will capture and attract your heart with so much beauty and so much sweetness that you will be eternally surrendered to the love of God. And Rupa Goswami also explains that Krishna is non-different than his name. How much power is in the name of God? Krishna says in Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandita. That all spiritual and all material worlds and everything within all material and spiritual worlds is emanating from me.
Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna
Avatar. And Krishna is non different than his name. Therefore, all material and spiritual powers and energies are emanating from the name of God. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. Vivo. Krishna's names. That all the power, all the opulence of God is contained within his name. Therefore, Rupa Goswami is praying that I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant the name of Krishna with my tongue, I desire to have millions and millions of tongues. I just want to taste and taste and taste and taste and taste infinitely, because the sweetness is infinite. And when that name enters into my ears, the sweetness, the beauty, and the love of that name is so overpowering, so overwhelming, so utterly subjugating, that we desire millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of ears to hear more and more and more. And when that name enters through the tongue into the ears, into the courtyard of my heart, Rupa Goswami explains that the mind, the senses, one's entire life force and consciousness is totally conquered. Totally subjugated by that beauty. One becomes incapacitated for anything else except to simply be immersed in the infinite sweetness of the holy name. It is a fact. The name of God is the source, the powerhouse from which all the energies and potencies are coming from in this world. The earthquakes, the tornadoes, the snowstorms and blizzards, the droughts, the floods, the tidal waves. And on the other side, the beautiful mountains, the wonderful prasad that everyone's waiting to eat tonight. The beauty of the most beautiful woman, the genius of the greatest scholar, the rhyme of the most beautiful poem, the depths of the ocean, all the beautiful things of this world, all the attractive things of this world, Krishna explains, they are but one little spark of my splendor. And all the insurmountable miseries of this world are just one little spark emanating from his inferior energy. But the full, unlimited, infinite powerhouse by which all energies are emanating are all contained within the sound of Krishna's name. But the spiritual energy is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Krishna says in Gita, Param Drisva Nivartate. That means that we are having so much difficulty and trouble just trying to live a good moral life and following the regulative principles of spirituality. We are having so much difficulty trying to overcome envy and pride and lust and anger and greed and illusion in our day-to-day lives. But Krishna says, once tasting the sweetness of the holy name in truth, once tasting the sweetness of his beauty, of his sweetness and of his love, our mind becomes so much attracted and conquered by that attracted all of this inferior material energy and all of the petty little difficulties that we are trying to survive through in this world become insignificant. You can never conquer material nature. No one ever did, and no one ever will. But through Krishna consciousness, we can transcend material nature by merging into the ocean of transcendental love. The material nature ceases to exist because we perceive the object of our love everywhere and in everything. The insignificant love affairs of this world, how powerful are they? When a man loves a woman or a woman loves a man, they become so infatuated that 24 hours a day they're thinking of their beloved. Huh? During sleep, whatever they see, they want to share it with their beloved. Huh? In separation, it's one intensity. In meeting, it's another intensity. Whole life is just an intense absorption on the object of your love. This is called romance. Just like in the famous play of Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. They were so infatuated with 24-hour-a-day absorption in one another that if they could not meet, if they saw that there was no hope in their being together and united, they couldn't even face the world for a minute. They both committed suicide. This is the power of mundane attraction for dying flesh. You can imagine the attraction between the eternal, unlimited soul and the infinitely beautiful and opulent form of God. Huh? Therefore, Krishna explains that this is the process of bhakti. To simply learn how to be attracted to the infinite glory of God. By hearing His qualities, by serving Him, by associating with His devotees, and by chanting His name, gradually we become purified. And when we taste the sweetness of Krishna, Anandam Budivaradanam Pratipatam Punamritashvadanam, all of our desires are supremely and eternally fulfilled. And then we transcend this world and we no longer see this world as material, but we simply see Krishna everywhere. Whatever we see, we simply want to give it to Krishna. Whatever we do, we simply do it for Krishna. Whatever we speak, we simply want to say it for Krishna. We are inundated. We are drowning in the ocean of love. That is the constitutional position of every soul, that state of consciousness. And that is what is available to every one of us in this very life. And to distribute that consciousness to others is the greatest act of welfare, service, and love that we can offer in this world. Anyone who is not in that consciousness is in a diseased and poverty-stricken state spiritually. And until we attain that stage, our desires will never be fulfilled. This is the power. And it is all within His name. Therefore, when we come together, like tonight, and we dance together and we sing together. It is not just a mundane form of entertainment, but it is the divine process by which we can gradually reconnect our consciousness with its original source through the holy name of God. So these were some of the reflections I was having sitting in that lonely airport in Raleigh, North Carolina. And the wonderful thing was, after thinking like this, I began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And although everyone else was just frustrated looking at their watches every minute, when am I going to get out of this place? I was thinking, this is a wonderful place. This is a wonderful storm, and this is a wonderful Krishna. Hare Bol. Thank you very much. And now, wonderful Mahaprabhu will give us wonderful prasad. I'm very happy to see all of you again. I'm very sorry that we were late, but we were in the next room having a meeting with all the Hare Krishna medicos. Many of these very dedicated souls who are highly qualified doctors, they want to dedicate their entire lives to using their profession for the welfare of humanity and the service of God. Through their occupation, to relieve the suffering of the body, the mind, and the soul, and to bring people closer to their source, closer to their natural healthy condition, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So the meeting is, they wanted to propose ideas of how they could really give every aspect of their life in the service of humanity. And somehow or other, it's such a wonderful subject matter that it lasted for many hours. Yeah. And therefore we were late. Huh? 4 hours? It's too long. But they want to make very major decisions, and very soon that decision will be revealed of how they will be striving to serve you in a better way and serve society in a better way. So next Friday, please don't think that we're always this late. Of course, sometimes I am. But we will start 7:30 promptly next Friday. Thank you very much, Adivo.
तो महाराज का प्रवचन आपको संक्षिप्त में हिंदी में बताना चाहूंगा. तो श्रीमद् भागवत के दूसरे स्कंद से ये श्लोक में उन्होंने बताया है कि जो व्यक्ति परम तत्व की खोज करना चाहता है उसको सीधे और दूसरे रूपों में भी सब दिशाओं में और सब स्थिति में और सब जगह पर उसकी खोज करनी चाहिए. तो ये जो अध्याय है ये भगवान श्री कृष्ण और ब्रह्मा जी के बीच में वार्तालाप हो रहा है. इसमें भगवान श्री कृष्ण जो है सृष्टि का उद्देश्य बता रहे हैं. इस दुनिया में हरेक चीज जो होता है उसके पीछे कोई ना कोई उद्देश्य होता है. तो यहाँ पर हम जो भी इंद्रियों से देखते हैं उसका उद्देश्य यह है कि हमारी चेतना को पुनर्जागृत करना है. तो जो बुजुर्ग लोग होते हैं वो हमेशा भगवान को देखते हैं. जो चीज हम देखेंगे वो चीज हमें मिलेगी. अगर हम श्री कृष्ण को खोज रहे हैं तो हमें श्री कृष्ण की भक्ति दिखाई पड़ेगी. हमें गुरु के निर्देश में जो है हमें सीखना है कि कैसे हम हर स्थिति में श्री कृष्ण के करीब आ सकें. यहाँ पर भगवद गीता में बताया गया है कि मान अपमान सुख दुख ये सब भगवान के ही भेंट हैं जो हमें उनसे करीब ले आते हैं. जो व्यक्ति ज्ञानी है वह समझता है कि सच्चा आनंद इसी में है कि हम भगवान से अपना पुनर्मिलन करें. तो महाराज अपने जीवन का अभी कुछ दिनों पहले का प्रसंग बता रहे थे कि कैसे अमेरिका में बहुत तूफान और बर्फ होने से अचानक जो 50 में से 25 जो स्टेट्स थे वो बंद हो गए थे और लाखों डॉलरों का जो है नुकसान हो गया था, सब जो है सब लोग बिल्कुल निस्सहाय हो गए थे और पूरे शहर के शहर एयरपोर्ट वगैरह सब बंद हो गए थे। और भगवान श्री कृष्ण गीता में बताते हैं कि मैं ही हूँ जो कि प्रकृति को चलाता हूँ। तो महाराज जी बता रहे थे कि वो एयरपोर्ट से जब एक किसी एयरपोर्ट में उनको 3 दिन रुकना पड़ा था, तो उनके क्या विचार आए थे आज वो समझा रहे थे कि मुझे इससे क्या शिक्षा ग्रहण करनी चाहिए कि अगर कृष्ण इतने शक्तिशाली हैं कि उनकी जो बहिरंगा शक्ति है वो इतनी शक्तिशाली है, तो उनकी अंतरंगा शक्ति कितनी ज्यादा शक्तिशाली होगी। आप सोच सकते हैं कि भगवान को जब हम समर्पण करते हैं तो हमें कैसा अनुभव होगा। ऐसा बताया जाता है कि जब श्री कृष्ण मुरली बजाते थे तो सब कुछ रुक जाता था। ये भौतिक शक्ति जो है व्यक्ति को काम क्रोध से वश में करती है, और आध्यात्मिक शक्ति उसको प्रेम से और भगवान की सुंदरता से वश में करती है। इसीलिए रूप गोस्वामी बताते हैं कि अगर आप परिवार से आसक्त हैं तो श्री कृष्ण की ओर मत देखिए, क्योंकि श्री कृष्ण की ओर देखने से वो आप उसके वश में हो जाएंगे। कृष्ण जो है अपने नाम से अभिन्न है। जैसे भगवान श्री कृष्ण गीता में बताते हैं कि सारे भौतिक और आध्यात्मिक जगतों के स्रोत वे ही हैं, तो सारे भौतिक और आध्यात्मिक शक्ति उनके नाम में ही है, और ये नाम जो है कोई भी ले सकता है। रूप गोस्वामी बताते हैं कि ये नाम में इतना अमृत है कि मैं लाखों जिह्वा और लाखों कान होने की अभिलाषा करता हूँ। तो भगवान का नाम ही सब शक्ति का स्रोत है, और सब कुछ जो भी हमें दिखाई पड़ रहा है सुंदर चीज, जो भी भौतिक शक्ति है, वो सब नाम के अंदर आ जाती है। तो भगवान का नाम जो है वो सब कुछ है, और हमें इसे भगवान के नाम के रस की अनुभूति करनी है। तो कृष्ण भगवान कहते हैं कि अगर हमें भगवान के नाम के रस का अनुभव हो जाता है तो भौतिक चीजों का आकर्षण जो है वो खत्म हो जाता है। इस संसार में हम देखते हैं कि भौतिक प्रेम के कारण भी लोग जो है एक दूसरे को इतना ज्यादा पागल हो जाते हैं, तो हम भगवान और आत्मा के बीच में प्रेम इसकी कल्पना ही नहीं कर सकते। इसीलिए हमें यही प्रयास करना चाहिए कि भगवान के यश की तरफ आकर्षित हों, भगवान की सेवा की तरफ आकर्षित हों, और भगवान के नाम का कीर्तन करें। और ऐसा करने से हम सब जगह पर कृष्ण को करेंगे, सब जगह पर कृष्ण की सेवा करेंगे, और सब जगह कृष्ण को ही देखेंगे। यही वास्तविक आध्यात्मिक चेतना है, और इसी से जो है हम भगवान की प्राप्ति कर सकते हैं। हरे कृष्ण।